Leonidas, Hoshana Rabba, and I was debating what to learn on Hoshana Rabba. So before this evening, I was sitting in the shadow of God's glory, and I thought to myself that we should, I should prepare something nice for Sukkos. So there's a sefer of that Rav Huttner called Kovitz Rishima Slave. So Rav Huttner was a Rosh Hashiva in Brooklyn, and then later on in Hanok. And he used to teach a lot of very deep Torahs in the Chagim. So what I did was I went through a lot of the sefer, and then I picked out nuggets, and I said I'm going to share the nuggets with my friends, and then I'm going to make them so hungry, all they're going to want is more. They're all going to run out tomorrow to buy the book. It's called well, he has a sefer Pachad Yitzchak, and this is called Kovitz Rishima Slave. Or Shima slave. So those are the svarim, and it should also be a schus for a four for Tobi this first time. Agassi of the Soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So, just the first one is just a halachic chiddush that he had. It says in the Mishnah Maseches Sukkah. So usually when we have a shir, so I usually just try to say one mahalach for the whole shir, but that's not what this is going to be like. It's a few different things. So for example, if you fall asleep for 10 minutes and you wake up, so you'll still be able to catch. You don't need the first 10 minutes for the next 10 minutes. It says in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer says that you have Sudah, you have 14 Sudas on and Mishnah and Sukkah and Daf Chav Zayin. You have 14 Sudas on Yom Kippur. You have one in the day and one at night. So if you have 7 days and one Sudah during the day and one Sudah at night, how much does that equal altogether? 14. You know, Boris, if at 1:30 in the morning, you know that, so that just shows that your mind is very clear. So it's 14 Sudas. So Rav Huttner mentioned that Ritzvi Pesach Frank was once learning this Gemara. When everyone's getting the chairs, I'm just going to tell you a story that happened to me this week. This week I had some guys in my sukkah. They were nice enough to come over and try to help me with my feelings of loneliness. And all of a sudden we sang Shir HaMaos. And Shir HaMaos B'Shul. Now I've done that 1,000 times. And then sometimes you finish, and sometimes you go 9 9 9 9 9 9 9. So all of a sudden they started going da 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 da. They started banging on my table, and everyone had these big smiles, and I never heard that before. So for the last 24 hours, all I've been doing is saying da 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 ba da 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 ba 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 da ba da ba 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 da da ba 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 da da ba 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 ba. I can't, Yitzi, I can't get that out of my mind. My mom just can't get it out of my mind. So, let's start again. The Sugamara says this famous rabbi named Rav Henoch Leibowitz, who was a Rosh Hashiva in Chofetz Chaim in Queens. So, he used to tell a lot of jokes during Shir. So somebody once said, Rebbe, it says in the Gemara that when Rebbe would start a Shir, he would say something funny. You know, people would laugh, get them interested, and then he would start the Shir. And then the rest of the Shir was serious. He said, but you, Rebbe, you tell a joke every 2 or 3 minutes. So how does that square with what the Gemara says? She says, very simple. In the olden days, people had long attention spans. So you say one joke at the beginning of the shir, and that lasts until the end of the shir. These days, people's attention span is 2 or 3 minutes. So I tell a joke, 2 or 3 minutes later, I lost them again, so I have to start again. So I have to tell them another joke, and I just have to constantly keep restarting. So, it's also my philosophy. The truth is, I was doing it before I heard the story, but... Okay. So it says in the Mishnah that there are 14 meals that you eat on Sukkos. One in the morning and one at night. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. So Ritzvi Pesach Frank was the Rav of Yerushalayim. He was the Rav of Yerushalayim. The Rav of Yerushalayim, Ritzvi Pesach Frank. He wrote a sefer called the Har Tzvi. You can imagine Tzvi because the other Tzvi. The Har Tzvi. So Mount Zvi in English. Mount Zvi. It's coming out in the Arts Culture Elucidation soon. We're not a translation, we're an elucidation. So anyway, in the Har Tzvi, so Ritzvi Pesach Frank was learning this Mishnah, and somebody asked him the Kasha. He says, how do you start Sukkos? When does Sukkos start, night or day? Night. So what should the Mishnah say? 14 meals on Sukkos, one at night and one during the day. It's supposed to be on the Mishnah. It says one at day, night. Why not one night, day? One at night, one during the day. Why does it say one during the day, one at night? So he answered, it's very simple. Then another opinion of the Mishnah, the opinion of the Chachamim, that all you have to do is eat one meal. The first night is a chiyuv, you have to eat a meal the first night. And then the rest of the time you have the option of eating or not eating. So he's going on that. the Chachamim already established that you have to eat a meal the first night. And then he says, and in addition, there are also 14 meals, one day and one night. So really, he's just starting where the Chachamim left off. Chachamim started at night, you have to eat a meal at night, and then Rabbi Lez argues and he says, no, you have to eat a meal all throughout Sukkot every day and every night, but he starts during the day because the Chachamim ended off at night. Now according to Rabbi Lez, how many meals are there going to, according to this pshat, how many meals are there going to be all together? We said 13. What's 14 plus 1? Perfect. So so that was the kasha. So teretz is very beautiful. There's another kasha they ask in this Mishnah. How could the Rebbe Eliezer say to have 14 meals on Sukkot? One day of Sukkot is always going to be Shabbos. How many meals do you eat on Shabbos?
Three.
So it's 15 meals. So the answer is very simple. He's going on the Chacham. The Chacham said you start at night with a meal, and he's saying, no, there are an additional 14, one during the day and one at night. So he's already starting the next day. So altogether they're going to be 15. Because he's starting where the Chacham left off. And that 15, that extra meal, is the Shalosh Shudas meal. So that was the what I thought was a brilliant pshat in the Mishnah. You could agree or disagree. So that is number one. So here's another very beautiful idea. It says that in the future, God is going to make a seudah for the tzaddikim, which everybody here is going to take part in, sponsored by Holy Bagel. And this seudah is going to feature, besides Holy Bagel, we used to have a teacher in where I went to high school, he would tell students who were unruly that he is going to give them the big bagel. The big bagel. So unfortunately, I saw a lot of bagels in high school on my report card and not only on my plate. In any event, God is going to make a seudah. This is in Baba Basra and of Ayin Hay. You know, I was a kid, Baba was always a big black guy. And then I learned Baba can be a Masechta too. So in Baba Basra and of Ayin Hay, it says that Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasso Sukkah Me'or Shel Avyasan. God is going to make for the tzaddikim a sukkah from the flesh of the Leviathan, and that is going to be the schar of the tzaddikim. The schar of the tzaddikim are going to be in the sukkah, and they're going to eat a delicious meal. So we're putting in a note something very interesting. The only time you see a mitzvah object being used as schar is here. In other words, God is promising them a reward. What's the reward going to be? The reward's going to be a sukkah from the skin of the Leviathan. The Leviathan is this big fish. So without getting into all the Kabbalah about the Leviathan. So God is going, the reward of the tzaddikim is that he's going to be, they're going to sit in this sukkah. So the question is, what is special about the sukkah that it's the only mitzvah object that's used as a promise for reward of tzaddikim? For example, Gemara Bracha says, what are tzaddikim going to get as a reward? There's no eating in Olam Haba. There's no drinking in Olam Haba. You know, you tell that to people, they're not going to want to go to Olam Haba. So, recently somebody told my wife, he said, if you make a shidduch for that guy, when we were talking about setting somebody up, a guy who's much, much older, he said, you're going straight to Gan Eden. So I said, no thank you, I think we'll wait a little while for Gan Eden. You know what I mean? We don't want to go straight to Gan Eden. Right now we're happy where we are. We can wait for Gan Eden. We want to go to Gan Eden when the time is ripe. So, and right. So, Gan Eden, the time is ripe. We'll go to Gan Eden. Isn't that a good pun? Very punny. So, it says there's no eating, there's no drinking. Tzadikim sit and their nanim is Ivashchina. But there's no mitzvah object that's promised as reward. Every time they talk about the reward of tzadikim, it's emotion. Why the distance? Kasha, I'm used to Tzvi Moshe being right to my right. So, there's no mitzvah. There's no place in the Chazal where you see that a mitzvah object is used as a promise for a reward for the tzaddikim in the future. So why dafka here? So something very interesting. It says that when Korach went down, who went down with Korach? Women and children. The women and children also went down. So the question is, why were the women and children? Children are normally not punished. You know, there was a big machlokas between Korach. Korach was the bad guy. And he also was bald, probably, because that's what a kerech is. I'm working on it myself. That's why I keep my yarmulke keeps getting bigger as the years go on. So the bald spot gets bigger, the yarmulke covers it. So the Korach started up with Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, in order to show Hashem, when Hashem wanted to show him how pleased he was, so he opened up the ground and it swallowed him, women and children. So that is what happened. So what's the obvious question? Why were the children punished? Children are normally not punished. Children are not responsible for their behavior. We're responsible for our behavior. Kids aren't responsible for their behavior. Right. So it says, Malkom Nisbatzi Elohem B'Gehenem, and then they're singing Shira. But why does the Torah say that they were swallowed up by the ground? Why do they get this? Why do they get this punishment? It says, Malkom, they had a high place in Gehenna where they're singing Shira. Why do they go to Gehenna in the first place? Children don't get punished. That's axiomatic. Children don't get punished. So why did the Bnei Korach get punished? So if you look in the Maharal, there's a sefer called Gur Aryeh. So Gur Aryeh is the Maharal's commentary on Rashi. How many commentaries have been written on Rashi? 39. That would work out perfectly, because there are also 39 melachas, and Rashi knew the 39 melachas by heart. But that could be. 39 is also a big number. 39 malchos, 39, what else is 39? It's one less than 40. I'm turning 39 next year. I'm saying 39 is big. So if I make it. If I don't make a shidduch for that guy and go straight to Gan Eden. So, hundreds. There are hundreds of commentaries on Rashi. So if you ever learn Rashi, you think, yeah, I understood Rashi. Hundreds. So it doesn't end. What you can do with Rashi, you can sit and dance with Rashi for the rest of your life. So, but my favorite, I think, is my Rebbe. Every week the Rebbe gives a shir on Rashi, just Chumash Rashi. He spends a whole hour just analyzing a Rashi or two. That's it. And then you walk out of there, you say, oh, now I thought I knew the Rashi, and then I realized I didn't know. Now I know the Rashi. But it doesn't end. Lubavitcher Rebbe, they have a book, his Sichos on Rashi. Go on for pages and pages and pages. Just to understand a Pshat and Rashi. Just the Raya Rashi brings. Why does he bring the Pasuk in Navi before he brings a Pasuk in Chumash? When he quotes a proof. Everything. So anyway, so the Maharal wrote a parish on Rashi called Gur Aryeh. They call it a super commentary, because Rashi is a commentary on Chumash, and Gur Aryeh is a commentary, and a commentary is called a super commentary, but it's also a super commentary. So the Gur Aryeh says something very interesting. The Maharal says the Maharal is a great Mekubal, and I'm glad you guys understand English. That's the only way I understood that joke. So the Maharal says, that, listen to this, Machlokes is Gehenim. That's what he says. When you're involved in a quarrel with somebody, that itself is Gehenna. You hear the words? So it wasn't that the Katanim were punished. Children aren't punished. When you're in the reality of Machlokas, that is Gehenna. As Chazal said, that Gehenna was created on the second day, and Machlokas was created on the second day. When God split the waters, the higher waters and the lower waters, Chazal say that's the source of all Machlokas, and that's also the source of Gehenna. Gehenna is Machlokas. Anyone ever get divorced? Divorce is Gehenna. Divorce is Machlokas. Divorce is Gehenna. I've been through Gehenna. I know people have been through Gehenna 3 times, 4 times. There was a famous actress 9 times. So Machlokas is Gehenna. So were the children punished? No, children weren't punished. But they were in an area where there was Machlokas. So automatically they went to Gehenna. So here a fitness is a very beautiful idea. We know that whenever you have something bad, Mida Tova Maruba. What does that mean? It means that it's the Chazal say that when the children are punished for the sins of the fathers, it's only for 4 generations. When children are rewarded for the mitzvahs of their fathers, for how many generations does it say? There are 2 opinions. One opinion is 2,000 generations, and the other opinion is a lot more, many, many, many thousands. So the minimum opinion is 2,000. How many times is 4 going to 2,000? 500 times. Midah Tov is always 500 times better than Midah Merubah. So if you ever want to feel bad about yourself, you have to mess up 501 times, and do something right 1 time. And then you'll have be more messed up than you've done it right. But if you're 1 to 499 or less, then you're a tzaddik. Because Midah Tov is always Meruba. So if Machlokas is Gehenem, what does that tell you about Shalom? Shalom is Gan Eden. We're going the other side. If quarrels is hell, then Shalom, which is the opposite of Machlokas, has to be the essence of reward, of goodness, of punishment, of schar. So if that's so, what is the sukkah? What do we call the sukkahs? What do we say Friday night? Ufros aleinu sukkat shlomecha. Or what does the pasuk in Tehillim? Vayhi b'shalem sukko u'ma'onaso b'tzion. You have to know that pasuk, because there are only 2 mitzvahs you do with your whole body. 2 mitzvahs you do with your whole body. Sukkah, your whole body, and Eretz Yisrael. Vayhi b'shalem sukko, u'ma'onaso b'tzion. In the same pasuk, those are the 2 mitzvahs you do with your whole body. So some people say mikvah. You can only do mikvah with your whole body if you have a lot of punctures in your body and the water can mamish go in. Not all of your body, only the water is only hitting the exposed parts of your body. But the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael is, it's not only what the water is hitting. You're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in your sukkah, whereas the inyan is the water. Anyway, that was the shot I once had. Somebody told it to Rav Katz, he said he liked it. So if he liked it, I liked it. In any event, so that's that. Oh, so if that's the case, what does it say in the Gemara? The Gemara says that theoretically, you can have a sukkah. The lashon of the Gemara is as follows: Kol Yisrael ruim leishev b'sukkah achat. All of the Jewish people could theoretically sit in the same sukkah, and that's talking about. It says that you don't have to own the sukkah because all the Jewish people wouldn't have a shavuot proof in the sukkah. So therefore, you could be sitting in somebody else's sukkah. But the lashon of the Gemara is all the Jewish people could be sitting in one sukkah. How do we all sit together? In yeshiva, we have guy times two roommates can't get along. Three guys, more chance for trouble. Four guys, six guys, eight guys, 12 guys. Imagine the entire Jewish people. Imagine here you have a Nachnach, here you have a Lubavitcher, here you have a Satmer, here you have a this guy, here you have a that guy, Shibra Koto guy, and a Tivaya guy, and a Tivaya guy, a Shibra Koto guy. It's mamish. Everybody's in the same sukkah. Everybody's in the same sukkah. Why? You guy, a Lakewood guy, a Chaim Berlin guy, an Eretz Yisrael guy, a Mir guy, a this guy, a that guy. Okay? By the way, only guys in the sukkah. But even if they're just guys in the sukkah, how on earth are we all going to get along? The answer is the sukkah. The sukkah represents shalom. Sukkat shlomecha, sukkah represents shalom. It's all this fun discuss. Rav Kook, the Sfasem, it's everybody. Now, those are just two of my favorites who I saw it in. But any sefer you open up says that on Yom Kippur, what do we all do to each other? We asked Mechila, and we all made lovey-dovey, and now we're best friends. Come Sukkis, Kol Yisrael Riyam Leishev B'Sukkah Achas. So if Sukkah represents peace and love and brotherhood, so if Machlokas is, the essence of Machlokas is Gehenim, and the essence of Shalom is Gan Eden is Schar, so it makes sense that the only mitzvah object which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises as a reward for the tzaddikim is going to be the Sukkah. Because Sukkah represents Shalom, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put us in that Sukkah, He's going to give us the Shalom, and we're all going to love each other, and that's going to be the Schar forever. Yes, Yonatan? 13 plus 1. Excellent, yeah. With?
In regards to living on the one Sukkah?
Yeah.
No.
You're quoting the Rebbe?
I think so.
You heard him speak?
I heard Rav Eitan
quote it. Oh, Rav Eitan quoted it. Yeah, what did the Rebbe say?
He said,
I mean, I've heard him speak hundreds, maybe even thousands of times, but I haven't heard everything that's ever come out of his mouth. I don't even hear everything that comes out of my mouth. I ignore half of what I say. Yeah, what did he say? That it depends on perspective.
I thought he said that one big dog shot building a minimum share of Sukkah.
Yeah.
And, I don't.
All right, you tell me after. Yes?
Isn't this kind of difficult that the Sukkah represents temporary?
No, sukkah is temporary because the Sfasem says sukkah is a temporary dwelling according to one opinion in the Gemara and a permanent dwelling according to another opinion in the Gemara. So he says it's really not a machlokas. If you realize that this world is a temporary dwelling, then you become permanent. So if a person realizes that we're not here for so long, he doesn't have time for fights. He just makes peace with everybody, and that makes him permanent. That's what we have to do. We have to realize this world's temporary, and then we make ourselves permanent. Did you want to say something, my sweet friend? No, yeah, I thought you had your hand. Okay, so let's go on. What? Who else? Somebody else? You want an answer, though? Beautiful. Answer.
The whole point of Sukkot is that eventually we make our way back into the house. Everything that we give to the Mahesh. The Mahesh is just operating with no special value. So everything that you've got up to of all the shows, right, sitting on Sukkah, the whole point is you take that baggage here as Teva and that becomes part of your own life.
Beautiful. So now I'll tell you, since tonight is the Shana Rabbah, I'll tell you one or two Shana Rabbah ideas. Oh, what's a Shana Rabbah? We all know that Sukkot is 7 days. The uniqueness of the seventh day is that the seventh day is called Shana Rabbah, the great day of saving. This is a day where the Gemara says there's a Minig Nevi'im that we normally ought to walk around the Bima one time, we walk with our Arba Minim. And the seventh day is the day of Arava, where we take just the Aravos, which is very, very important, because my son made a killing on Arabas this year. Wow, we're buying another apartment. So I mean, I'm saying he was already sold out hours ago.
You saw him selling.
You saw him selling. Well, everyone's, that's why I put him. That's why we're in Rehov Orachaim, that street. Everybody had to pass Shmuel Irma to get into the old city. So we made sure that he was gonna sell out, and those tropeets, those drinks. So it was a good time for Kali Yisrael. In any event, so this is the day of Arava. What does the Arava represent? We know that the Arava that represents the people. It has no time and no reach. It has no taste and no smell. It represents those Jews with neither Torah nor mitzvahs. And this is the day where we go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo b'chesed v'lo b'masim banu lefanecha. Kedalim u'kurashim dafakim v'lasecha. We don't have any maisim. We're simple. There's only one thing we want. There's only one thing we want. Save us. That's all. The Rebbe Shlita told the story that when he was in high school, when he was in Ativ Meir, when being his father's yeshiva, so they once went in a tiyul, and they were in Midbar Yehuda, they were in the desert, and they went with this fancy tour guide, you know, this big chayal with his gun and everything, and the only thing the chayal knew everything except how to get around. So the whole trip got lost, and they were in the hot sun, and they were lost for about 10 hours, and they were finished. They just all lay down, and they felt like they were going to die. Because they'd run out of water, and this is before the advent of cell phones or any means of communication. Kitzer, to make a long story short, they lay down and they were ready just to die. And I think he said that some boys were even saying vidui. And all of a sudden, they heard, like from the distance, they heard a car, they heard a jeep, and all of a sudden they started screaming, Hatzilu! Save us! And then the car came over, and Baruch Hashem, all the boys' lives were saved. And I think the Rebbe said that one boy actually died. But all the boys' lives were saved. And he gave that as a mashal, and it's a story that happened. But he gave it as a mashal. That's what we do on Hoshana Rabbah. We just scream Hoshana, which means save us. You just cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Arava is in the shape of lips also. So it's supposed to represent, right? Each of the Arba Mina represents a different part of the body. So it's the lips. So that our lips are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just save us. And we're supposed to scream at the top of our lungs, save us. Just like you don't, when a baby's about to fall out of a window, you don't say, I'd be a little bit more careful over there. Right? You jump, you scream. When there's a fire, you scream. So, or sometimes people scream fire, but you can get arrested for doing that. The point is, that's what Hoshana Rabbah is all about. Hoshana Rabbah is a day of tefillah. And that's why, who's the Ushpizin of Hoshana Rabbah is? David HaMelech, because David HaMelech, we know, he said about himself, I need tefillah, my essence is tefillah. So, that's Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the day of tefillah, the day of the Arava. So, there's a big inyan on Hoshana Rabbah to say Tehillim. Say Tehillim, by the way, it's really neat. There's this open-air synagogue nearby, free admission. You can stay there. You don't even have to go through guards anymore. You already got past the guards. You can stay there for as long as you want, unlimited prayer time there. And I always say that if you have a cup and you dingle it from time to time, you can even make a nice living off that also. You don't even have to invest in Aravas. You can just dingle. And say something about you're already trying to collect for your trip to Uman next Rosh Hashanah. You had such a good time this Rosh Hashanah. The point that I'm trying to make, now, sometimes they're collecting. I say, what are you collecting for? They say, I'm collecting to go to Uman. So, I'm going to leave it up to your discretion to determine whether or not I actually donate to that cause. The point that I'm trying to make is that Tehillim is an amazing book. Tehillim touches the souls of all Jews. I know Shana Rabbah is a big Indian to say Tehillim. So what is the difference between Tefillah and Tehillim? So for this is a beautiful idea. Tzvi Moshe, what do you say? Because Tehillim is supposed to express, right, it's supposed to express our deepest feelings and emotions. I'm glad you remembered. I happen to have listened tonight to a recording of what I said last year, so I don't repeat it. But you remember what I said last year, and this year I'm going to hopefully say something different. But thank you for remembering Tzvi Moshe. I actually remember you sitting there. And I remember thinking to myself, who's this serious Shana Aleph guy? But then I realized, no, you're really a Shana Gimel guy in the body of a Shana Aleph guy. And paying the tuition of a Shana Aleph guy. I would just go straight to Shana Gimel because tuition's a lot less. In any event, the point that I'm trying to make is that Rav Huner says as follows, that when you daven because you have a tzara. You daven because you have some sort of you're in trouble. You feel anguish. The Ramban says it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven only when you're a be'es tzara, when you're in a time of distress. That's the Ramban. The Rambam says it's always a mitzvah to daven. Even though Rav Soloveitchik has an idea, he says that they're really not arguing because the Rambam holds that it's always an es tzara. Everybody always has something. Life is one big es tzara, especially for the Jewish people. Yes, my friend.
Last year, I was was by the Kotel today, and there's a guy, he said, it's in the Rambam, it says the Raisa, says the Raisa to shake an S-ring the size of a football, and he loves the language of football.
Interesting, and I thought football is only 100 years old.
I did it.
Wow. I mean, maybe a Yemenite. They have these big Yemenite
Esrogs.
Bigger than those. A Guinness Book of World Record Esrog.
There were two of them.
Like when it says when they brought the fruits back from the land, the Gemara in Sota has these descriptions of fruits.
Isn't the Mishnah the Machlokes whether or not you have to hold it with one hand or two hands?
You can't hold this with one hand or two hands.
That's what I'm saying.
An arm.
Exactly.
An arm. You have to cradle it like this. Like, what's cool?
It's not even a joke.
To make a long story short, tefillah is when you're in distress. What's tehillim? So, tehillim is the background that your tefillah should be accepted. If you daven and it's an eis ratzon, it's a time of goodwill from God, He'll answer you. What tehillim does is, it creates the eis ratzon. It creates that time of will. So he said, I told this tonight to my wife, so she got very excited because she's a beautiful tehillim. So and she likes to use it also, it doesn't just sit on the shelf. So he said that in Leil Hashana Rabbah you should say a lot of tehillim so that this in the morning when you say the Hoshanas, Hashem answers you. Because tefillah sets the scene, it creates the background, it creates the Eis Ratzon, the time of goodwill from Hashem. And then the tefillah is what we actually ask Hashem for. That's what he says. It creates the background, the reka. Even in the book, the guy writing the book maybe didn't know how to say background in Hebrew, so he wrote it in English. Background. So that's the background. And that's David HaMelech. David HaMelech is Naim Zmiras Yisrael. He wrote Tehillim. So he created a background that our tefillah should be accepted. Now, Hoshana Rabbah is an Eis Ratzon. Hoshana Rabbah is a time where after all the avoda that we've done throughout Elul and Tishrei is a time where Hashem really wants to hear our tefillahs. But the Gemara says that Adam rotze b'kav shelo yosem etisha kavin shel chavero. You'd rather have one measure of what you worked for than nine measures of what someone else worked for. We always appreciate a lot more what we put our efforts into. So if somebody would give you $100 that you earned or $900 that you didn't earn, so in the end we probably all take the nine. But you have a much better feeling about taking what you earn. We all know that. When you earn something, you feel better about it. So if that's the case, since Hoshana Rabbah is an Eis Ratzon, so we don't really need to say Tehillim. Why? Because it's God wants to listen to us anyway. But the answer is that we don't want that. We don't want it to come from Shemayim that Hashem is going to listen to us. We want to create the Eis Ratzon. So therefore, David HaMelech, who wrote the Sefer Tehillim, he created that possibility for us. To create the opportunity of an Eis Ratzon, then Hashem will answer our Hoshanas. And we're not just going to rely on the fact that Hoshana Rabbah is a great day on its own. We want to create the opportunities for ourselves. So therefore, on Hoshana Rabbah, on Leil Hoshana Rabbah, there's a big inyan, if you can find time, you can just say one parak of Tehillim. And as we mentioned before, who's the Yishvizin of the seventh day? Who's the guest in the Sukkah on the seventh day? David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech is Tehillim. Hoshana Rabbah is a time of tefillah, it's a day of tefillah. In order for your tefillah to be accepted, you have to say Tehillim. So, even though on our own, Hashem, even without the Tehillim, Hashem might listen to our tefillahs, but since we want to earn it, so it's worthwhile saying Tehillim. So that's Hoshana Rabbah. Not only that, you wanted to say something, Jonathan? Somebody wants something on their hand.
I wanted to, no.
Never mind. There's not a day of mind, there's a day of heart. Tefillah is all about heart. Everyone has to read Ma'or Yishenim, Reads Tzvi Moshe's Ma'or Yishenim about the lake. It's all about the lake. Le'ene Kol Yisrael, what's the last letter of the Torah? Alamed. What's the first letter of the Torah? Abez. It's all about the lake. The Rebbe Shlita always says, we say, Psachli Bibisora Secha. Open my heart to the Torah. Does anyone here learn with their hearts? You learn with your brain. You ever say, bam, I have a thick heart. I can't understand this Gemara. No, you say, I have a thick skull. I can't understand this Gemara. Or you knock on your head. You say, what's going on? I don't get it. Nobody knocks on their heart. But the answer, of course, is that Torah is not about your brain. Torah has got to go from your brain to your heart. And that's our avod in this world, to make sure. That's why they call a tie a litvish agartel. Because it separates between the brain and the heart. And we never have to have the chassidim made fun of it. And they said, you're never allowed to, because Hasidim didn't wear ties, and non-Hasidim wore ties. So they said, you're never allowed to have a separation between, we wear a separation between our heart and our erva, and our sexual, you know, our, the lower part of our body, because we want to know that we have the upper part, which is the more spiritual part, and then we have the more physical part, and we want to make it a separation. But we don't make a separation between our brain and our heart. Everything we learn up here has to go into our heart. So it's all about the lev. Psachli bibisara secha. So, that's why, how do we get on to Psachli? Oh, so it's Hoshana Rabbah, it's a day of tefillah, it's a day of lev. So, we have to make sure to say Tehillim, and our lev has to get into it. There's another thing that he quotes. It says in the Pasuk, Hotzia mimazger nafshi, this is also David HaMelech in Tehillim. It says in the Pasuk, Hotzia mimazger nafshi, take me out from my soul being locked up. Lehodo says Shemecha, to thank your name. So normally when you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens? You say, Hashem, Hashem, please give me a wife. So what do they say in Shemayim? They say, he deserves a wife. What does he deserve a wife for? I mean, Michael, I've been looking for you for all week. He deserves a wife? What does he deserve a wife for? Say, Hashem, Hashem, give me parnasa. So they're ketrulim in Shemayim. Whenever you daven, there are always these guys up there, these bad angels, who are saying, don't accept the tefillah. And there are always big fights in Shemayim from the beginning of creation and on. There are always fights in Shemayim, accept the tefillah or don't accept the tefillah. What did David HaMelech say to him? He said, God, take me out of my state of being locked in. Why? Lahodot et Shemecha. To thank you. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to save me. You know I want you to save me? Imagine a person sick. A person sick, he's lying in a hospital bed. He said, Hashem, make me better so I can thank you. So, I bet if you have such a tefillah, there are no kitchugin. There in Shemayim, they can't say anything against such a tefillah. Because the whole reason you want your davening to Hashem is in order to be able to thank Hashem. So people think that why do we daven? When we have a problem, we daven. So the Svarim prove from numerous sources that it's not true. We don't daven because we have a problem. We have a problem in order that we should daven. And they prove it amongst other places from a Medrash. It says that Paro Hikriv, that Paro started running after the Jews. Why? In order that they should daven. So they didn't daven, right? Because when they were leaving Mitzrayim. So they didn't daven in order to get away from Paro. Paro ran after them in order that they should daven. So the Gemara Medrash gives a mashal of a man who once saved a woman. And he says, if I save you, will you marry me from the bandits? And she says, sure. If you save me, I'll marry you. So he saves her. And then she looks at him and she says, nah, not interested. So then he leaves. And then they come back and the bandits are about to attack her. And she says, save me again. She says, save me again. So the nimshal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to marry the Jewish people. And he saves us. And then when he saves us, we're not so interested in him anymore. So he says, all right, the mitzvah will come back, and then you'll see what's better for you. So in the end, we have to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the idea. Hotzia mimazik, whenever you daven for anything, that's really a big mistake people make. We think we're davening, we're so used to thinking about ourselves, so it comes naturally to ask for things. We all have mothers, Baruch Hashem, I hope we should all have mothers for many years. So what's our mother for, if not to be our slave? So I always tell that to my children. I say, you better be nice to your mother, because she's the only slave you have in this world. So therefore, you have to treat her with respect. And I don't say it any, I say it in front of my wife. Like, she understands. Yeah, she's their slave. They understand she's their slave. So I say, like, take advantage of the opportunity. Be nice to her. But that's not the way we're supposed to look at our mother. And that's certainly not the way we're supposed to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, like, up there, all right, give me this, like a candy machine. You know what I mean? You just keep asking him for things and hope the right thing comes out. They say this man came from this little village in Poland. And he went to the big city, to America, and he went for a 2-week trip, and he came back with like 500 cans of Coca-Cola. And they asked him, they said, why do you have so much Coca-Cola? So they said, well, they have this really neat machine. They have this game. And I kept winning. I kept putting money in, and I kept winning the prize. So I kept playing more and more. So that's that. So anyway, but that's not what tefillah is. You know what tefillah is? Tefillah, what tefillah is supposed to be, now that it's the night of tefillah, is Hashem, I need this in order to serve you. I need das because I have to use my das to be a better Jew. And I need refuah. Why do I want to be healthy? I don't just want to be healthy because it feels good to be healthy. I want to be healthy so I can serve you. So that's the emes tefillah. The tefillah is really not for us, it's for Hashem. And of course, when Hashem heals us, why does He heal us? Not for Himself, for us, because He loves us. And that's really the way the relationship is supposed to work. Every relationship is supposed to work. That He thinks about us and we think about Him. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Mikamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baratz. I love the Jewish people. What does it say in our tefillin? We love Hashem. So that's why the Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev says that it says in the Torah. What does the Torah call Pesach? Chag Ha Matzos. And what do we call Pesach? Pesach. Chag Ha Pesach. We praise God, excellent boys, for jumping over the houses. So Pesach, he jumped over Pesach on the Jewish houses. So we're praising God for what he did. And that's what we call it. What does God call it? Chag HaMatzos. He's praising us for doing the mitzvah. So in every relationship, each person has to be looking out for the other one. So why did God create the world? God created the world in order to do chesed, to love us, to give us good things. What should our perspective be? That we're here to give cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So each one has to be thinking of the other one. So that's tefillah. So whenever you're davening, remember, I want you to take me out of my suffering, Hashem, in order that I should thank you. And about that, there's no kitzurugim. So now he says a very beautiful idea. We're going to get up to Shemini Atzeres. It says in the pasuk, we know that there was a big fight between Yaakov and the angel. So what happened at the end? It says there, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Why is that a famous pasuk? It's Reb Shlomo Kalbach. V'nizgav, v'nizgav, Hashem Levado. You don't know the song of Shlomo Kalbach? Hashem Levado. Nobody brought their guitar? Oh, v'nizgav. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Wait, what's Vayivaser? He remained. What's Yaakov translated? Yaakov, oh, Jake, Levado, alone. Oh. So, now we're going to understand this pasuk. There are two types of mixtures in the Jewish people. There's one type of mixture that bad people, who are Jews, mix in with good Jews. When did that happen? The Erev Rav. Excellent boys. When we left Egypt. There's another bad mixture. Who's that? Vayis'arvu b'goyim, vayilmadu b'maseyim. That the Gentiles mix in with us. When did that happen? When we came into Eretz Yisrael, thank you. What's the first place we went into? Yericho. When Yericho, that's when it all began. And it's interesting that it says that when the Kohen Gadol would say the vidui, Arab Hashem, they heard his voice all the way to Yericho. Why? Because what's Yom Kippur all about? Yom Kippur, what also happened on Yom Kippur besides Yom Kippur? God gave us the second luchos. The second luchos are to atone for the sin of the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf. So now that we're getting kapara for the Chet HaEgel, you might think that we're only getting a kapara for the Erev Rav, because the Erev Rav, they were responsible for the whole thing. So we're only going to get kapara for that, for the Goyim who joined the Jewish people, but we're not going to have a kapara for Mamish Goyim who remained Goyim influencing the Jewish people. So therefore, therefore Chazal say, no. The Kohen Gadol, when he said his vidui, it reached Yericho. Which means that now, not only did we get an atonement for mixing in with the Erev Rav, like the Egel Azav, but we also have atonement for mixing in with the Goyim, because that's what started in Yericho. So now let's get back to Yericho. Now, what's going to happen, Lasid Lavo? What does the Pasuk say? V'nizgav, v'nizgav, Hashem levado. Hashem's going to be alone. So the Pasuk says, Ein, as we say in Gzal Sabracha, Ein kekel yishurun. So the Medrash says, it literally means there's nobody like God of Jeshurun. The Medrash says, Mi kekel, there is somebody like God. Who's like God? Yishurun, Jeshurun. Who's that? Yaakov. Yaakov is like God. Yisrael Sava. That's the Medrash compares Yaakov to God. Scary. Okay? Why? What does it say about Yaakov? Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. What does it say about Hashem? V'nizgav Hashem Levado. So there's a beautiful piece in the Aleh Shur about how real Jews are individuals. They're not dependent on anybody else. Levado. You have to be Levado. If the whole world is doing something and you think that it's wrong, you know, there was a story about the Chedush HaArim that there's a woman, that one of the ladies in the neighborhood once called somebody a Reuter. A Reuter is like today they say a Gingy, a redhead. So he says, you know how to do that. It says in the Gemara, you know how to give a person a nickname. So the woman said to him, Gantz Varsha, all of Warsaw calls him Reuter. What do you want from me? So the Chedush HaArim said, there's enough room in Gehenna for Gantz Varsha. Oh, there's room in Gehenna for all of Warsaw also. You don't have to worry about it. If all of Warsaw is calling him a bad name, that doesn't mean you have to call him a bad name. So Yaakov is Levado and Hashem is Levado. Now, are Goyim allowed to bring Korbanos? It's a Gemara in Chulin. Goyim are allowed to bring Korbanos. So, now it's very beautiful. They don't know. There's a certain point they're allowed to go up to, and they're not allowed to go further than that point. But they're allowed to send Nedarim and Nedavos into the Beis HaMikdash to be sacrificed on their behalf. Now, what about Torah? Are Goyim allowed? Are you allowed to teach a Goy Torah? No. But Karbanos they do have. So, what? They can't keep Shabbos. So Torah they have no relationship to. Karbanos they do. So now listen to this. It's very, very beautiful. You have to listen carefully. All Shavuos, all Sukkos, what do? We bring how many bulls? 70. 70. I always wanted to write an article on Sukkos and entitle the article, "It's a Bunch of Bull." I'm saying, wouldn't that catch people's attention? 70 bulls. So there's 70 bulls on Sukkos corresponding to the 70 nations. What's Shemini Atzeres? Rashi says, how many bulls do we bring? One bull. Why? Because God says, listen, guys, all Sukkos are with the nations. And now I want to have one day, an intimate meal, just with you. So that's the one bull that we bring on Shemini Atzeres. So, what? No, because we want to be mitaken the whole world, though. We don't only want to be mitaken Teaneck, which is all Jewish. We want to be mitaken also people outside of Teaneck who aren't Jewish. No. There's 70 Gentile nations. So when we bring 70 korbanos, it's a tikkun for those nations. And we go in descending order, so we weaken them a little bit, so they don't beat us up. What? It says that there's no the Amalek, there's no tikkun. It's a Rav Kook. It says mitachas hashamayim, there's no tikkun. But he says me'al hashamayim, there's a tikkun. But the only nation there's no tikkun for is Amalek on earth. Everybody has this tikkun for the Chinese, for the Japanese, for the Vietnamese. 71, including? No, they're really 72. They say Esav and Yishmael over their heads. I'm bad with numbers. But if you look in Parashas Noach, they're split into 70 nations. So, so on Shemini Atzeres, there's one carbon. So who's then excluded on Shemini Atzeres? If there's only one carbon, who are we excluding? The Gentiles. Normally, what can the Gentiles do? We have korbanos. No one's doing a dharma and a davis. And all of Sukkos, we bought korbanos for them. So the beauty of Shemini Atzeres is that we're mitaken all the mixtures. We said they're mixtures of the Erev Rav, and they're mixtures of the Gentiles. On Shemini Atzeres, we're mitaken that. How are we mitaken that? Because we bring only one carbon, and that one carbon is for Am Yisrael, and that's the Vayvaser Yaakov Levado, that Yaakov is alone, and that's V'nizkav Hashem Levado Bayom Ahu. And this is really connected Lasid Lavo, that it's just going to be the special relationship then is going to be revealed between Am Yisrael and Hashem. So basically the upshot of everything we said is that Yaakov, the Pasuk says Yaakov is alone, which defines Yaakov, like I once heard a shiur from a Rebbe in the old place that he said, Rav Steinberger, he said that it says that Esav was tired when he came from the field. So when the Pasuk says he was, a lot of times we're tired, but the Torah doesn't tell us, you know, and Moshe Rabbeinu was tired, but, you know, he went to Paro anyway. He didn't get much sleep the previous night. No, the Pasuk doesn't say tired. When it says Esav was tired, it means Esav, the essence, was tired. He was tired. Whenever there was anything ruchni, all of a sudden his eyelids started drooping and he started falling asleep. Esav, the essence, was huayef. What's the essence of Yaakov? Levado. Am levadad yishkon. Hashem badad yanchenu. So that's Yaakov. And that's Hashem, and Nisgav Hashem Levado Bayomahu. And that Levado is expressed in Shemini Atzeres. That even though normally Torah they have no Shaykhs too, because you're not allowed to teach a Goy Torah. But normally they're allowed to bring Korbanos. And also because we bring Korbanos on their behalf. But Shemini Atzeres is the day of no Korbanos. So that is another idea. One more idea about David HaMelech, and then maybe something about Yantiv, and then we'll call it a night. It says that David HaMelech had a great grandmother named Rus. Why was she called Rus? Because she had a grandson named David. Revayu, what does revayu l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Rus. Revayu shiros. The resh vav of revayu and the tav of shiros, that's Rus. That's the Gemara Darshan's in Brachos. Revayu, she had a grandson who was marveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shiros v'tishbachos. What does marveh mean? What? A lot, maybe. The person is very thirsty. Well, we have Tzvi's Israeli. He knows what it means. Laharvot. How do you say that in English? Laharvot et atzimaon. To quench the thirst. That's what I would say. Not knowing whether quench is K-W or Q-E-U. I really know. So, to quench. Rus had a grandson, Sherivayu HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiros Hishbaros, who quenched HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thirst with his singing. Who was that? David HaMelech. Now, listen to this. Whenever you praise Hashem, you have a problem. What's the problem? Never enough.
No, what?
Who
are you to praise God?
Who are you to praise God? It's never enough. Me and my Lord brought Hashem. Who can do it? Now, David HaMelech, there's a pasuk in the Tehillim that says, Berek Tes, Lemana Sepra, Kolti Latecha. David HaMelech had a special koach. He could, I guess as much as humanly possible, express all of Hashem's praises. So that's David HaMelech and that's Tehillim. So he's called in Sefer Shmuel, Naim Zmirot Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. So he has a koach that no other human being in history had. That he could say all the shavach, all the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's possible. So that's what it means. Revayu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shirot tishishbachos. He quenched, that's Rus, again, Revayu Shiros. Rus. He quenched HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thirst with Shiros v'sishbachos, with so much praise. And that's why when we say in Nishmas, we say, Ah, kol divrei Shiros v'sishbachos, David ben Yishai avdecha m'shichecha. What does that mean? It means that everything we just said is only secondary to the Shiros v'sishbachos of David ben Yishai. Compared to what David ben Yishai is saying, everything we're saying is secondary. Because otherwise it says, Mi'amaluk v'ras Hashem. Who can say it? Like the Gemara gives a mashal. So you go up to Mr. Renner. You see him in an hour or two. You go up to Mr. Renner and you say to him, if you can get past his bodyguards, you know what you do? Shave off your head and put an earpiece in your ear, and then they'll think you're one of his bodyguards. So you can go right up to him, wrap around sunglasses. Anyway, go up to him and say, Mr. Renner, I heard that you own your own automobile. That's true, you have a car? You have your own car? Wow! Isn't that like a little bit insulting? Like when you're talking about that level, I mean, there are people who have less money than him who also have their own car. Right? I heard you own your own apartment, you don't live in a rental? Wow! Isn't that... So the Gemara says, when you start praising Hashem, so it doesn't look whatever you say, he's got so much more. It's insulting. So that's normally when you praise Hashem. There's only one exception. What's that exception? Tehillim. Tehillim. If you try to praise Hashem, you're always going to come up short. But since David is revayu l'akadosh baruch hu b'shiros v'sish bachos, so with David HaMelech doesn't come up short. Asapra kol tehillah secha. He can do all the praises. So that's another Musar Haskel to say to him. And it's amazing, by the way. You wait for the bus, and instead of just sitting for 20 minutes going like this the whole time, when is he coming already? So you can actually do something worthwhile with your time and say to him. And you know, it could very well be that a girl will see you and take a liking to you. And this can mean a good future. Yes, though.
Don't we praise Hashem and say, like, oh, Hashem did everything.
Yeah.
So, is that a difference of everything?
No.
Hashem is more than everything.
Yeah.
You can't conceive of everything.
You can't conceive of everything. Our everything is very small.
No, we say everything in terms of more than what we understand.
Right, well then, you're not really expressing it. You're just... More than I understand, so what does that mean? Like, you're not saying it with your mouth. You're just saying, I can't say what you're all about. I don't have the vocabulary. Yeah. And... Okay, I thought about Yom Tov, and then I'll have... First the story I thought of Yom Tov, and then we're done. There's a beautiful story that tells about somebody asked Akasha. This is a halachic thing, and then a nice story of Yom Tov, we're done. It'll take another, it should be 3.5 minutes for those who can keep the eyes open, and then you'll go and you'll say to him. It says in the, somebody wants to ask for Futner, a good halachic question. Let's say you're mitztayer. You know, you can't be in the sukkah because it's cold for you. But you have a child in the sukkah. Are you chayev to stay with him idin chinuch? Because your obligation is to educate your child. So you have to stay in your sukkah in order to teach your child. Teach him by sitting with him, just the fact that you're there, and you can teach him other things. So are you chayv, you're mitztayer, so you're pater from sukkah, but do you have to stay in the sukkah because of a different mitzvah, because of chinuch? So Rav Futner told the story about Rav Chaim Moser Grudzinski, who was a big rabbi in pre-war Europe, who had a very similar case. One time Rav Chaim had guests, and he was a very, very big istinus. What, you heard the story? Rav Nemitz said it on Tuesday. So for those who didn't hear, those who forgot, so he was a big istinus, and he left the sukkah because it was too cold, but he had guests. And then he came back to the sukkah. So he said, I'm pater from the mitzvah sitting in the sukkah. But I'm not pater from Achnasas Orchim. It doesn't say that I'm a star is pater from Achnasas Orchim. That's what I say to you. And then the last one, this is in the bottom of my page two, very beautiful idea. We know that if Shabbos falls on Yom Tov, or Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, like it does this year, What do we daven? Shabbos or Yantiv? Yantiv. And we just stick in all the parentheses. We daven a Yantiv daven. We all know that? It's the best of both worlds. We daven a Yantiv daven. Why? Because the Sefer says that it says in the Gemara that if the Rav is there, you don't give cover to the Talmud. If you're with a Rav and a Talmud, don't give cover to the Talmud. You have to only give cover to the Rav. Ein chokim kavod la-Rav, la-Talmid b'mkom Rav. That's what it says in the Gemara. Now, who is the Rav and who is the Talmud? Shabbos or Yantiv? Shabbos is the Rav. Because the source of all Kedusha in the world, says in Sifrei Hasidus, is Shabbos. That's the source of Kedusha in the world, is Shabbos, and Yantiv emanates from that. So you can't give Kavod to Yantiv if Shabbos is around. So what is, let's say I'm a Rav, which I'm not, and let's say I have a Talmud, which I don't, and I see somebody wants to give Kavod to my Talmud. So what do I do to show my respect for the Talmud? What do I do? I walk out of the room. I escape. I disappear. In order that the Talmud should get covered. He says that's what Shabbos does for Yantiv. Since you're now going to give cover to Yantiv in the place of Shabbos, so Shabbos sort of disappears. Yeah. And Shabbos says, don't mention me in the tefillahs. Don't daven Shabbos davening. Daven a regular Yantiv davening. And this way, it's as if I'm not here. And you can give cover to Yantiv. So it sort of bows and steps aside very graciously. So that's Shabbos stepping aside for Yantiv. And I see, guys, if anyone has questions, yes, Moshe Gavriel, and then we'll...
Is that where the Indian stems from, to sing
Yantiv Zmiris before Shabbos? And Yantiv Zmiris also. He says, we sing Yantiv Zmiris, not Shabbos Zmiris. So you have to come to my house to sing Menucha B'Simcha with me, but not in Shmini Atzeres. Yes, Doug.
There's
not
another
Well, since Simchas Torah is only Takanas Chazal and Sukkot is a Doraisa, so that's your answer. But we didn't discuss the big question, which I'll leave. Why were we attacking that Simchas Torah is always in Shemini Atzeres? What's the relationship between the two? They're always on the same day. And normally you don't mix two Simchas. One Simcha, one. That's something to think about. And since we're already talking about Simcha, we must end with the following song. 2, 3, 4. Anyway, guys, you're holy to the